Thank you. So I did have a question about slide 35, where you spoke about the cash flow with May and June. You said 3.6 million would be what you expected to have in the cash. 3.6 million in May. Was it 3 million in June?
6 million.
6 million.
On
that's
the
what
cash
I thought.
Flows in the packet reflects our estimated ending cash balances.
So, but the bar is lower. How come it's lower?
Because in May it's $3.6
million. Oh,
and
I
then
see.
It goes up slightly in June.
Maybe I'm on the wrong month, but. Yeah, it's the colors. It's not in the order, right? Okay. I get it now. I was on the wrong month. The other thing, I think I already made the point when you were talking about the slide. If there's any changes to the to the COLA, if it goes down before the final budget adoption in June, that would be a detriment to us. That would add to our burden, right? But if we can talk the state into in the legislature, which we've already been advocating for, and I know at our Legislative Action Committee meeting, we all agreed, all the districts across the county in that committee agreed to send a letter to all our legislators to strongly urge them to support that COLA rate be raised back to the 3% for 2021. That would definitely be a help us paint a better picture going forward. But I agree with the so there's still a lot of flux here. Mm-hmm. What we have to remember is this just is a picture in time that we have to report to the state and to the county and to our constituents so that they know where we are standing at this point in time. A lot of things can change between now and June. You already alluded to that when you said you thought some of these ending balances would, in fact, be some of our expenditure costs that were projected or that were mandated by the county to include in our first interim. We've adjusted. Some of them may not be realized at the level that we were including them even in the second interim, so we may, by the end of the year, have a better picture. But what I still think we have time to do is bring analysis about what we plan to do with our budget and some of the particulars around it. I appreciate that you included how you allocate the FTE to schools based on enrollments and things like that. I know that somebody said, oh, you haven't done anything to reach out. Four of us were at the Chula Vista Elementary School District Board meeting speaking about the charter item they had on their agenda. We spoke very strongly that they would not do that they would delay their vote. We have been reaching out to them individually, collectively. We're doing our work with the county, trying to work through some of those issues. We've directed our superintendent to build that relationship. So we're trying to do some of these things that everybody talks about. What we are not really talking about is, what I don't think we're talking about enough is all the reasons why people should be in Sweetwater and how much we hear it when people come and talk about their great programs. But when you hear a lot of this negative stuff in the news and day to day, it's very hard to focus on the great things that are going on. I think what I want to know is some of the different scenarios of budgets and how we are going to be going forward with allocations. And I'll talk more about that in my open comment, but I think what we have here is a picture in time. It's really not set in stone, and there are a lot of moving pieces. And I think some of the slides about the changes in salary and the increasing of the PERS and STIRS really laid out some of the reasons why we're at where we're at. People can accept those explanations or not as they deem fit, but there are a lot of different factors involved, and it really is kind of it doesn't serve anyone to keep accusing people of having done something illegal, or we didn't do anything illegal. Not, no, that's not true. So that's all I want to say. Thank you. Well, I wouldn't say more. We've done our best job every time we've made a decision. It's been on what we felt was the best decision we could make based on the information we had at the time. Every picture changes. What we've been getting in the last year and a half are much clearer pictures, much better intended, much, you know, definitely a clearer explanation about what's happening in our district, and we're trying to base our current decisions on that. But to say we don't value our teachers or to say we don't value what's going on is that I can't accept that, because I know we do. This is a different situation, but I think the K-3 item was well done. Thank you.
Mr. Segura, or Mr. Solis.
Yes, thank you, President Tarantino. With regards to this five-year plan that I haven't heard of from the San Diego County Office of Education, is there such plan that we've received, or?
What Dr. Salkeld's read in the various letters that we've received from the county office, every time we give an interim report, is that we are required to reinstate or restore the 2% economic uncertainty. That doesn't sound like a five-year plan, or a three-year plan, or a two-year plan. They expect all districts to keep that in as a reserve, or to restore it if it's not there, in order to be positive.
And with regards to spreading this out to 3 years, why don't we do something like that, or what's the reasoning behind not stretching it out 3 years?
Dr. Salko.
So, not as I mentioned earlier, it was on slide 4. Number one, as Dr. Janney mentioned, is having the economic uncertainty restored. But then that would continue the district in a negative, if that is not restored, a multi-year in a negative certification status. There are consequences with that economically, and then we would remain under the district or the county's fiscal advisor over multiple years, would not look to the financial market that we're progressing sooner, and it would have higher interest costs down the road.
As well as the contract language that says if we get to positive by December of 2020, we increase the health cap by $1,000.
And my final one is with regards with Mr. Fernandez's comment regarding our budget increasing, but yet we're spending more. Can we get a little more clarification on that?
In terms of, I know you mentioned historical piece, the local control funding formula revenues were going up over the course of it being implemented during those years. What I can indicate now for revenues, LCFF is fully implemented. So it's now leveled off and is only dependent on this cost of living adjustment. So there was a ramp up from 2013-14 to last year. So now it's just leveled off. And to keep in perspective is that increase in revenues was to get school districts back to 2007-08 funding levels over a course of time. In terms of the expenditures, the piece that's, you know, escalating in costs relates to the PERS and STRS costs, as well as increases to special education. Over the last 5 years or so, we've gone from like a $39 million contribution to, like as I mentioned earlier, a $58 million contribution, and now a projection of $62 million for this current year. So those are the different elements that are causing. I'd have to look at the specifics that were referenced in those particular years, but those are the trends.
Thank you.
Mr. Segura, did you have more questions?
Sure. So yeah, that page 4 that's there, and I understand, you know, that, you know, unless we have a positive certification, we're not going to sell bonds to do construction. To me, that's not like a deal killer. I mean, we could, you know, I know that we'd be paying more, you know, in interest when we eventually get there. But to me, that's not a good driving force to. I know it's not the only reason why, but just, to me, it's not the main reason why we should be trying to balance it in 1 year. If we could, whether it's 2 years or 3 years, whether we could save, some more educators, their jobs and their livelihood, I'm all right with that. And much like Mr. Solis was mentioning, but that's where I'm at. And nobody loves construction more than I do because that's what I do for a living. And going back to the here it is, page 27. And I know we're being like super conservative, it seems like to me, and a lot of these numbers. And I just don't agree with that right now. Just as you know, I know we're going to have to do some adjustments, but it just seems like we just keep pushing ourselves farther into a hole that you know that's going to end up costing us teachers. So that's all I have.
Mrs. Hall?
Yeah, Dr. Salkeld, I know you spoke about having met with FICMAT and about the AB 139 audit that they're conducting. And I know that in our audit and finance subcommittee in the past, we were trying to schedule our audit subcommittee meetings before the interims came to the board so that we had a chance for that committee to see the presentation, to see and make any recommendations they may have or answer any questions in an advisory capacity to the board. So I would hope that we adjust and make sure in the coming year that we make sure and schedule those meetings when this is available. I also would like to make sure that we're scheduling the meeting and we're able to hear more about the AB 139 audit with that committee. And also it seems to me that there's been some back and forth with that entity about what kind of evidence or where they could help you understand some of the findings they had in the report they issued in November of 2018. And they have yet to come up with some of that documentation for you, which is maybe a little concerning since they work for the public as well. And if they're not able to provide the documentation that they use to base those opinions on, it seems to me it's caused quite a bit of anxiety for us. But I would definitely think that we would need to be informed as a board about the status as you're ongoing. So as often as you have news on the AB 139 and these other audits and the SEC inquiry, I want to make sure you're keeping us abreast of that as much as possible. So thank you.